Coming up, one of these phones is not like the other. Is the world ready for a high-fidelity smartphone? Plus the Zoom, the Papago, and the Fugaboo. What is it called? It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 35 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code BEFOREYOUBUY514. Welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show where we take some of the most interesting products coming out right about now and pair them up with our crack team to give you an idea of what it would be like to actually own and use this product on a day-to-day basis. Chad Johnson is here with our first silly product. Actually, this isn't so silly. I've been a fan of the Zoom recorders, portable recorders, for some time. Chad, who is one of our producers, hosts OMG Craft and a brand new show, Reddit Up, on our network, a show with big Reddit stories of the week, took a look at this thing. What do you think that is? It's called the Zoom Q4, and it's both audio and video. Let's take a look.
Hello, my name is Chad. I'm with TWiT and Before You Buy, and today I am reviewing the Zoom Q4. What is the Zoom Q4? Well, it is a video camcorder. Now, this is an interesting review because I'm actually using the product to review the product. I borrowed this mirror from Liz, and you can kind of see, hey, there you are. There I am. This is just a little mirror to show off. Yes, I'm in fact using the Zoom Q4 to shoot this very review. This is a camcorder made by Zoom. Zoom is known for really high-quality audio equipment for audio recording. This camcorder comes with a built-in XY microphone right on the top of the camcorder. And that's what I'm actually using to capture all of my audio right now. In terms of the hardware of the camera, right on the top you have the power button and record button. It comes with a windscreen that you can place on top of those microphones. Along the side is where your LCD is. It's a 2-inch LCD. It has physical buttons on the bottom of the LCD, and it does swivel all the way around. This is not a touchscreen LCD, you have to use those physical buttons. Along the other side of the camera, you have volume up and down for your headphones. You have your gain control, low, medium, or high. Then you have auto or manual gain. This is for audio only. You also have a low cut filter. And then you have indicators for if your memory card is filling up or if your battery is running low. Inside, there's a 1/3-inch 3-megapixel CMOS sensor. This is an f2.8 lens. There is no zoom on this bad boy. What you see is what you get. And it is a 130-degree wide-angle lens. The audio can be recorded up to 24-bit 96K kilohertz audio. And that's uncompressed in wave format. They also do a compressed AAC, which is a little bit lower quality. Video quality goes up to 1920 by 1080 progressive at 30 frames a second. That can be dropped down to 60 frames if you use 720. Not only does this camera have a tripod mount on the bottom, but it also has a 3-prong action camera mount. This is the same mount that GoPros use, so you can use those suction cups and mounting devices that you already have attached to your helmets and things. Along the back, you have a mini HDMI port. You also have a mini USB. This is not micro, this is the old mini style USB. You also have a headphone out and even an external microphone in. I recorded most of my video in 720, 30 frames a second, because I know that's what we publish at, and capturing anything larger is just kind of a waste of space. I could get about 3 hours recording time off of the battery. With the USB cable, the mini USB cable, you can plug this into your computer and use this as either a webcam or a USB microphone, which I actually found really cool because this is really high quality video for a webcam and incredibly wide angle, so you're able to capture your entire person. So, for the pros and cons of the Zoom Q4, on the pros, I really did like the image quality. I also loved the audio quality, up to 24 bits and 96 kilohertz audio. And I also liked that it had the three-prong action camera mount on the back. For the cons, there's no manual control when it comes to video. You have concert mode and night mode, and that's it. There's also the fact that the mic is built into the camera. You have to be very careful to make sure that you don't actually touch the camera in such a way that it screws up your audio. Tripod mount would fix this. There's also no image stabilization. So if you're walking around, you're going to get a lot of jitter. And finally, I didn't like that it was a mini USB on the back instead of a micro USB. You can find this camera for around $300 online. MSRP is a little bit more, but street price is all around $300. Buy, try, don't buy for the Zoom Q4. I'm going to give this camera a buy. I think that they have a really good market on the audio and video quality. This is a great sort of vlogging camera with its super wide-angle lens. Obviously, there's a lot of downsides because of the market that they're going for and the price at around $300. But if this suits all your needs, I absolutely suggest that this camera is the one you should get. There are downsides, but I've explained them all already. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Chad for Before You Buy and Twit.tv. See you later.
Every time I see something like this, I feel like I should be vlogging more. Zoom Q4. You hear that little laugh? That is Padre Father Robert Ballester, host of the This Week in Enterprise tech show and Coding 101 and know-how. He's a busy guy. Oh, and let's not forget Padre's Corner here on the Twit Network. And we gave Robert something. I don't even know what it is. It apparently you can strap it on your head. It's called the Foo Goo. Let's take a look.
I'm Father Robert Ballester, the digital Jesuit, and I'm having a double helping of Foo Goo. The Foo Goo is a Bluetooth-enabled wireless speaker line with a twist. Built around a common core, any Foo Goo speaker can slip into a specially designed sleeve to morph into the style, designed for everyday use, the sport, designed for slightly more rugged applications, and the tough, built to withstand serious shock to the system. This means that you buy one speaker and you customize it for your specific needs. The Foo Goo has buttons for power, Bluetooth pairing, and control, as well as volume. There are only two ports, micro USB for charging and a 3.5mm audio jack for those who want to physically connect to their music devices. Sound is generated by 6 drivers built into the core, 2 neodymium tweeters, 2 neodymium woofers, and 2 passive radiators, all built with an 8-degree upward tilt to provide 360-degree sound around the Foo Goo. A 6-watt amplifier powers those speakers with a 60Hz to 20kHz frequency response. The Foo Goo uses Bluetooth 4.0 to connect wirelessly to devices at distances up to 33 feet. It also uses Bluetooth LE to connect to the optional wearable remote control that can provide play, pause, forward, reverse, and power functionality to the connected device. Also supported are the A2DP, the Hands-Free Profile 1.5, and the Headset Profile 1.1 protocols for using the Foo Goo as a 360-degree full-duplex conference speakerphone, complete with omnidirectional echo-canceling microphone. Power is provided by a lithium-ion battery that can be charged from empty in about 3.5 hours. Runtime is rated for an astounding 40 hours of continuous play at 50% volume, and our repeated tests met or exceeded that number over the course of 2 months. Using the Foo Goo is a breeze. The speaker gives you audio cues along every step of the setup process, and I was up, paired, and playing in just under 20 seconds. Audio quality is very good, with clear sound and exceptionally accurate source reproduction. The low end felt a little weak, but that just may be my addiction to bass-added speaker systems. While the Foo Goo is more than a competent speaker, what makes it special is its flexibility and durability. The Sport and Tough cases include a dock at the bottom of the sleeve that allows you to mount the Foo Goo on a multi-mount, a strap mount, and a bike mount. This gives you a fantastic number of ways to attach the Fugu to bags, belts, bars, and vehicles. As a warning, the flexibility means that you can attach to almost anything, but there are a few things that probably should never be attached to your Fugu. As for the toughness, you've probably seen your share of speakers get dropped, dunked, and jostled, but I thought I should take the Fugu to the one place that is usually death for electronics with moving parts, the beach. For the better part of the day, I tried to kill the Fugu. To increase my chances, I removed the core from its protective casings and tossed it, buried it in fine sand, threw it into the surf, got it mucked, and just for good measure, I managed to coat the core in fine metallic particles. This kind of treatment would usually kill even a ruggedized speaker, but after a little wash and shake, the Fugu was ready to power and play. After banging the last of the metallic particles from the core, the Fugu slipped back into its sleeve, no worse for wear. The Fugu is available now. You can find them online for between $199 and $229. I was a fan of the Fugu when I saw it at CES 2014, and now that I've had 2 months to play with it, well, I'm even more enamored. It's everything they told me it would be, plus quite a bit more. Now, on the pro side, I'd have to say the first thing is the overall sound quality. It's got really accurate sound reproduction. It's not bass-heavy like a lot of other speakers. It will give you more of what the source actually sounds like, and, well, I like that. The other thing is the flexibility. I'm not talking just about the cases. The cases are cool, but I mean all the secondary functions. Yes, you've got the core. Yes, you've got all the little accessories that you can get from the remote control to the straps, but you also get things like the conference phone functionality, and it works really, really well. Anytime you give me more functions out of the same device, well, I'm sold. The third pro has to be the toughness. This thing is a tough cookie. Because they have this core module that is waterproof, that is dustproof, that is impact resistant, it means that you're going to be able to use the speaker in places that you wouldn't want to bring another device from another manufacturer that maybe doesn't do so well in the sand, or doesn't do well in the water, or doesn't do well in a sporting activity event type place. I kind of like that. The last thing, and this is big, is battery. 40 freaking hours of battery life. That's a long time, and that's not a lie. At half volume, you will get the 40 hours each and every single time, and that's just head and shoulders against any other speaker in this range. Now, on the con side, I'd have to say that there are two things. The first is that there's some directionality of the sound if you get it too close. If you get it within 2 feet, you know which side has the woofer, which side has the tweeter, and which side has the mids. Now, that's not really a problem, but if you're going to be using the speaker too close, you won't get that full 360 sound. The other thing, and this is going to be big for some people, is the lack of really low bass response. Again, I like my music more accurate than boomy, but if you are one of these people who likes a lot of bass, even if it's artificial, then this may not be for you. Still, looking at the pros and the cons, if you were to ask me buy, try, or don't buy, I'd say that the Fugu is an absolute buy. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire with Before You Buy.
I love the name. Fugu is a blowfish, right?
It's like a blowfish, yeah.
If you eat it, if it's not properly prepared, it'll kill you.
You die, yes.
Yeah. So that's a good name for a product. What, you know... they do have the pufferfish actually is in their logo.
Yeah, it's actually part of their logo.
So, Robert, we've seen a lot of Bluetooth speakers like this. I mean, this is kind of a very crowded category. What makes this one different or better?
They first approached me, I asked the exact same thing. I said, listen, we do a lot of speakers here. If this isn't something special, I don't want to waste my time. Right. And it's really the flexibility. I like the idea. You have a common core. This is the important part, right?
Right.
That's the speaker. A speaker, and it's super tough. We threw this in the ocean. I threw it down a hill. And then you just put it into the case that makes sense for you that day.
It's kind of cool.
It is cool. And, it's one of these things where it does a lot of things, and it's pretty damn good at all of them.
Right.
Yeah. And even the sound. I mean, the sound is... It's a little bit lacking in the low end because of the size, but I mean it's.
Apple should have bought this instead of Beats.
I know this would have been much more of a steal, but this is definitely a buy for me just because when I look at all the different speakers I've collected,
I love this idea. Yeah,
this is the one I'd use.
Yeah, very practical. Robert Ballasaire, host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, Know How, Coding 101, but my favorite is your newest Padres Corner. You take over the studio. There's nobody here usually, right?
I'm all by myself.
On a Friday night. Yeah,
which means there's no limits.
There are people watching, though. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
But you interviewed some really interesting people, including Hewlett.
Yeah, we had Dave Hewlett on the other night. Hewlett. And, you know, the star of Stargate, the university. He's Dr. Rodney McKay. And,
that's
the kind of stuff we like to do. We geek
out. That's really fun. Yeah. Well, we'll watch it every Friday on the Twit Network. What do you think that is? We had the fugu. Now we got the papago. I feel like we're having a Polynesian buffet here. We gave Brian Burnett, our technical director, this because it's a camera, and he's reviewed all our GoPros and all of that. And he's got a motorcycle, so who better to review the Papa Go, 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 Brian?
Hi, this is Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, and we're taking a look at a mobile camera, not dissimilar from the GoPro series, called the Papa Go Extreme. Yeah, kind of a weird name. So what comes in the Go Life Extreme package is you get a mount for your handlebars if you wanted to do a bicycle or something like that, a USB charger and a plug-in kit, a sticky mount for mounting to your helmet or anything else that you would like to permanently have a mount attached to, and then the Papa Go camera itself. It almost looks like a lipstick case or something. It's just a camera tube with two buttons at the end, and on the other end is the camera, but pretty basic. It has a power button and a record button. And it has built-in Wi-Fi for connecting to your phone, which you have to download the Go Life Extreme app, and it works both on Android and iOS. But that is what you will use to interface with the camera and change settings as needed. The Papa Go comes in at around $200. It has an all-aluminum alloy body. It's shockproof, dustproof, and waterproof up to 1 meter. And that's all without having a plastic housing similar to the GoPro. It'll record at 1080 at 30 frames, 720 at 30 frames, and also 720 at 60 frames. So in front of the camera, it has a detachable lens protection cap. So if you know something hit it, you could always replace the cap pretty easily. And then you unscrew the back cap to access the HDMI, the USB port to charge the camera, and it also has a slot for a micro SD. Now, the instructions that come with the Papa Go are pretty bare bones and basically just instruct you to download the app. The app itself is pretty straightforward. You go into your Wi-Fi settings, and the Papa Go comes up as a Wi-Fi hotspot. You connect to it, open the app, and it searches for the camera. You can preview what the camera sees, so that helps for mounting purposes. One downside is that you can't record while using the preview, which is a feature that the GoPros have included with their software. This is the only way that you can get to the settings is through the app, but it gives you a pretty simple view of what options you have available. And originally Padre was supposed to be doing this review, but he had a few problems getting his ego to fit inside of the helmet, so I ended up doing it myself. I mounted the three cameras to myself and I looked like a spaceman. So as I flip back and forth between the audio on the Hero Black and the Papa Go, you can tell that the Hero definitely sounds like it's inside of a plastic case, whereas the Papa Go sounds a little bit more exposed, which it is. Now, what that meant in wind noise was that with the GoPro, you could hear the bike a little bit more, and with the Papa Go, it was mostly just wind noise, and that's all you could hear from it. Doing a side-by-side comparison with the Hero 3 Black, obviously the Black is a much more expensive camera and it's going to look better, but you can see that the dynamic range on the GoPro is a lot better. Things aren't as blown out, maybe a little too saturated. The Papa Go also has a smaller sensor than the GoPro cameras, whereas the Black has a 12 megapixel sensor, the Papa Go has a 3.5, so definitely one of the reasons why the image isn't as good. You can definitely see the detail better in the image at the GoPro. Now, the side-by-side comparison next to the Hero 2, the older edition of the GoPro, it's a little bit closer matched. You can see that the image still looks better on the Hero 2, a little bit more saturated and less blown out in certain situations. But the audio also on the Hero 2 is a lot noisier. and you get a lot more of the engine noise from the bike, whereas the Papago, again, is just the wind noise. Now, the battery life on the Papago was about 5 hours, so that was good enough for me to get a full day of riding recorded. And so it's a little bit better than the Hero Black, but it's about on par with the Hero 2 battery life when you're recording at 1080 at 30 frames per second. So pros and cons for the Papago. Its form factor would be the main one. It's less conspicuous than having the GoPro on the side of your helmet, and its shape makes it easier to mount to certain places. At around $200, the image obviously isn't as good as a top-of-line GoPro, but if you just wanted something to record your everyday events, like riding a bicycle or something like that, this would be a great choice. And also ease of use. It doesn't have as many options as the GoPros do, but if you just want something straightforward and simple, and you just want to record right away, then this is a good choice. Now, the cons are the image quality obviously isn't as good as some of the higher-end GoPros or even the older generation GoPro. Another con is that the Papago doesn't come with as many mounts as the GoPro does, so you're kind of limited on where you want to use the camera. And the third con is the settings. There's not as many settings as on a GoPro, so if you really wanted to dial it in to do multi-camera or something like that, then you're definitely limited through the settings. Now, for buy, try, or don't buy, the Papago Go Life Extreme, I'd have to give it a buy, mostly because of its low price and ease of use. If this was an everyday camera that you just wanted to record your commute and not have to worry about it too much, then this is a great camera for that. But if you're a person who wants to make really good videos that look nearly professional, then you'd probably want to spend the extra money and get a GoPro. This has been Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, reviewing the Papago Extreme HD Action Camera.
That's Brian Burnett, our technical director, and he likes his Papago! Go, go, go! That is kind of cool. It looks like a lipstick camera, but the quality really was remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, for $200, it wasn't too bad, and it just works. So.
It is less expensive than the GoPro, isn't it? Yes,
it is, and the quality suffers a little bit.
Yeah.
But for what it is, like if it was just an everyday camera, I'd use it.
Well, more and more of us riding motorcycles these days, so we all not
ride no. safe.
Ride safe, please. Our show today brought to you by. Coming up, by the way, we've got. See, we did Zoom, Fugu, Papago. What's next? A venerable name in hard drive, Seagate. But first, a visit to Shutterstock.com. Give me a count, Brian, that more now than 35 million high quality. It says over 35 million. If you scroll way down, they actually give you the raw number of how many high quality. There it is. 949,198 royalty-free stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, and more than 250,000 added this week alone. These guys are crazy. They add beautiful images, many of them by professional artists and photographers. Each, of course, is reviewed for quality and content before they're added to the library. The best thing about Shutterstock is it's free to make an account. You don't even need to get them a credit card. Once you've got the account, you have the full search capability, the browsing, and the light boxes. So if you're looking for inspiration, if you're looking for ideas, if you're just looking for design ideas, go to Shutterstock.com, create that free account, browse around, use their amazing search engine. You can search not just for nouns like robot, but you can search for happy robots, sad robots, angry robots. So there's just robots. Now, add an adjective. What do you want? A happy robot. All right, let's see that. So now we're only going to see dancing for joy, happy happy robots. You can also narrow it down by color, by palette. They've got a color wheel. I mean, this is really the best search engine I've ever seen. And when it comes to a place with 35 million stock photos and illustrations, you've got to have a good search engine. Then save the images you want in your like box. You can access them anytime. You can even share them with others. Well, they have a beautiful app for iPad and Android. In fact, they won a Webby Award for their iPad app. It's just stunning. In fact, another good example of something you might want to use for inspiration. Multilingual customer service, more than a dozen countries worldwide. Full-time customer support throughout the week. Sign up for your free account. You don't need a credit card. Then if you decide to purchase, and you can buy packages of images. You could also buy a subscription. That's what we have. Use our offer code before you buy 514, and you will get 20% off right up front there. That's Shutterstock.com. And for new accounts, 20% off when you use the offer code before you buy 514. Shutterstock.com. Jason Howell is here. He produces Tech News Today, Monday through Friday, with Mike Elgin. You also are, and this is important, a father. Congratulations.
I am. Yes.
I couldn't believe it. Savannah's first steps via Google Glass.
And honestly, it couldn't have happened more perfectly, right? Like, I was off from work for that day.
Because she wasn't feeling well.
And I had Glass all charged up, and I could tell. You could just kind of see it. Like, there was something working in her brain, and she figured it out. And right at the right moment, I pulled out the glass and said, all right, let's do this. And
I remember both my kids' first steps. I remember it well, but I don't have video of it.
Yeah.
The fact that you've got it, and because it was Glass, there it is, it's on your Google Plus page. Because it was Glass, you and she maintain eye contact.
Oh, totally. Make,
you know, it's not like you're behind a camera.
Yeah.
Oh, she's kind of a little cranky.
She's a little grumpy. She's not feeling very well. But you could tell, like, I could totally tell that she was down for it. She takes a couple
of
steps here,
gets
the bunny. I thought that was it. And then she, like, takes, like, 10 more.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that was awesome.
Baby's first steps.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. I can't wait for her to grow up so I can show her.
I know. And, you know, the video is really excellent. The video, I was impressed by that. So this justified the entire purchase of the Google Glass.
Oh, yeah.
There.
This is kind of what it was all about, right? That was one of the reasons that you gifted me Google Glass in the first place.
Because you had a baby. She was born.
This is going to be perfect for you.
Yeah, she was just born when you got him.
Yeah, and this is one example of how I've put that to test as far as that's concerned. So.
Jason hosts All About Android. Yeah. In fact, I have an Android phone I want to show you in just a little bit. But let's take a look first at this Seagate device. What is this?
Kind of coming out from reviewing only Android devices on this show, now I'm reviewing something that works with an Android device. It also works with iOS, actually. It's a Seagate Wireless Plus, and this is it's a wireless hard drive. This is a 1 terabyte hard drive, and you can load an app on your tablet or your device. This is the Seagate media app that I have loaded on this Nexus 7, and essentially what it allows you to do is this device, the Wireless Plus, broadcasts over Wi-Fi 802.11n. It can broadcast up to 8 mobile devices. Though if you're streaming media to the devices, they recommend, you know, no more than 3 at a time. And I actually kind of noticed a little bit of hiccups with streaming it to 2 at a time. So keep that in mind. Probably also depends on how high resolution, high definition the video clips are. You can plug it into your computer via USB 3 and it becomes a portable hard drive. So it's really kind of flexible in that regard, right? Like, it has a very interesting use case for streaming media to your tablet or your mobile device, but you can also just kind of use it as a portable hard drive that you can take with you. It has, you know, some compatibility issues with video formats. It doesn't support every single format under the moon, and of course right now it's lagging for me right now, but
this Wi-Fi environment here is so harsh.
It really is. Yeah. I had way more success at home than I do here, and I feel like I'm constantly battling it here.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing through the tablet, actually, is I'm connecting directly to the Seagate here.
So that's one negative on all of these, and there are other companies that make these, is to use this wirelessly, you have to attach to it. You can't then surf the internet. You only are accessing the hard drive.
Although, if I were at home, I could show you one of the other awesome features of this, which is that it allows for internet sharing. So you can connect to the internet through the Seagate Wireless Plus.
Okay.
And then it will pass through that internet connection.
Oh, that's nice.
To the device.
So you don't
I could not get that
internet
to work here. No matter how hard I tried, I could not get that to work here.
That's just because we have so many Wi-Fi signals and such powerful Wi-Fi signals. So.
Yeah, no, it's definitely battling, which is obviously going to make it kind of hard to show
and
off.
And it's not the Seagate's fault. I should point out we have trouble with many devices, including laptops here. It's not unusual to have Wi-Fi issues. Mm-hmm.
Doing this
what
from
files
home,
it can was, it was, play and what files cannot it can
okay
not
so
play.
H.264 video, MPEG-4 video, motion JPEG for video, audio AAC, MP3, audible formats 2, 3, and 4, Apple lossless, AIFF, WAVE. So it can do a decent amount, but like
not
DivX,
MKV, not DivX.
But one cool thing here is, so I downloaded Night of the Living Dead, right? It's on the Internet Archive, and this is a DivX version. If it can't play it, and it detects, at least on Android, if it detects that there's a player that can play it, and in this case I have MX Player Pro,
So that has DivX, and it will just launch it.
And it will just pass it right through. So it's streaming it.
from the drive into MX Player, and there you go. There's
look at that. That's on Internet Archive?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yep, it's on Internet Archive.
So I'm going to – this is good because this is a second-generation wireless hard drive, and they have really solved a lot of the issues.
They have, and everything that I've read about the first one, it really seems like they address this. They actually just released a new version of the app for all the platforms that supported Android, iOS, Kindle Fire, Windows, Windows RT. There's no Windows Phone support, so keep that in mind right now. Maybe eventually that will be – kind of brought into the fold. But I mention that because when I started this review, one of my big downsides was that the app was just kind of a pain in the butt to use. And this new version completely overhauled it. So it's a lot easier to use. It makes a lot more sense. It got really confusing connecting to the wireless and then losing connection. And what am I looking at?
It was a pain. I know. Yeah.
So thankfully, the changes that they've made really did improve things.
Did you say it does Audible formats? So if you listen to audiobooks on Audible, it'll play them
that. 2, 3, and 4.
That's it. That's handy for me.
I didn't test that, but there you go.
That's handy for me. You know me. I'm an Audible fan.
And I did try it. You know, I don't spend a whole lot of time on iOS devices, but I did borrow Jammer B's iPad and streamed some video to it, and it seemed to work okay.
How much is this?
So this is the 1 terabyte version. It's $180.
Prices have really tumbled. So it's a bit twice as much as a bare bones drive would be. You're paying for this additional wireless access.
Absolutely, absolutely. 2 terabyte drive is $200. They also have a 500 gigabyte version for $150. So you know, you get
sounds
into
like
that.
You'd be best buying the 2 terabyte.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, wow.
Because the prices are so close together.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I gotta say the battery, man, I've been really impressed by the battery. I've been constantly streaming things. The downside is you don't really know when it's getting super low on battery.
It just dies.
It's kind of hard to tell.
Lucy and Savannah are sitting in the back seat,
right
in the middle of Finding Nemo.
Honestly, like if everybody in our car had a wireless device and they all wanted to watch something different, you know, three people streaming from it, technically it could do it. This could serve all three of those devices. So
the name again?
The Seagate Wireless Plus.
You want to run through the pros and cons?
Yeah, absolutely.
Quick.
Super light and portable. I mean, it's really just a very portable
drive. It's like a flask.
Drive. Yeah, it kind of does. Maybe that's for version 3. Very flexible. I think the fact that it's media streaming as well as just a basic, you know, USB 3 portable hard drive, I think that's pretty cool. Internet sharing obviously is great, and the battery performance was awesome. Wi-Fi speed 802.11n means you're going to get a few hiccups. It has kind of, you know, at a certain point, it kind of stop and go.
And it's 2.4 gigahertz, probably not 5.
It's no, it's 2.4 gigahertz. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
That's why you have problems here. If it did 5, you wouldn't have any problems here.
Right. Yeah. And limited file type support, as I said, it doesn't support every single format under the sun. It's not transcoding your video if it doesn't support it, in other words. So.
And you were able to go 10 hours with it, you think?
I would guess. I mean, you know, it was kind of broken up in many different places, but I hardly ever had to plug the sucker in. And I've been just kind of testing it by replaying video over and over and over again, and it was taking a long time. So that's what I think that's what they're saying is around 10 to 11 hours of solid
battery time. So, you know, every single product we've talked about today has been a buyer.
What do you got there?
Well, I'm not going to say, but are you going to keep the string going?
I will, yes. I would say buy it. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of experience with others in this space as far as this particular type of device, but I think if this is what you're looking for, you'd be hard-pressed to find something that works as well as this.
Jason Howell, host of All About Android. You were just on a British podcast.
I did the Pocket Show on the British Tech Network.
Is that up now or will be up soon?
It is. It published earlier this morning.
Oh, good.
So it's up. Just do a search for the Pocket Show, British Tech Network. You'll find it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
Of course, TNT Monday through Friday. You really should have reviewed this next product. I snagged it.
That's okay.
I took it away from you. I know you, as a host of All About Android, you have a great interest in Android phones. As a musician, you're probably an audiophile. Audio probably means a lot to you.
It does.
Now, I know you know that I love the HTC One, the second edition, particularly the M8. That's my daily driver now.
She loves it, too.
Yep. It's really a beautiful phone. Yeah, she has the Google Play edition. I have the Verizon edition. We both think it's an excellent build. It's you know, arguably the most beautiful Android phone on the market today. Mm-hmm. I think it competes very well with every smartphone on the market. It's certainly my choice. But I was very interested when I heard that Harman Kardon and Sprint were going to join up to release a new version of the M8, the Harman Kardon edition, an audiophile edition of the HTC One. Well, that sounds interesting. Now, there are a couple of things that are exclusive to it. First of all, it's Sprint only, at least for now. It has a different color. You see, it's black, unlike the one I have, which is the gray metallic. There's also, I think, a gold version. This is the only place you can get the black with gold trim. What do you think of the color?
I can't say that I'm sold on it, to be honest.
Not a great...
It kind of looks cheaper than the other one.
Yeah, isn't that funny? It's well, and it does have, and this surprised me a little bit, and maybe this is because of Sprint, I don't know, but this bottom piece is plastic. It's metal on my Verizon version. Now, the metal does scratch really easily, and because it's where the USB port is, actually I've scratched mine up terribly. So maybe plastic isn't such a bad thing.
Yeah.
It still feels as good as any HTC One does. But I was very intrigued. The other thing they've done a little bit differently is instead of bundling the HTC headphones, they have a special Harman Kardon headphone. Sprint says these are $150 or $140 if bought at retail. This whole package, by the way, is only about $40 or $50 more than the non-audiophile version of the HTC One. And, of course, Sprint has subsidy packages that make it pretty affordable. The headphones do sound much better than the standard earbuds that come with my HTC One, and they sound better than most earbuds I've used. They're not perfect. I don't think they sound as good as I would expect a $140 pair of headphones should sound. And they are, the styling is really debatable.
I would say so.
It looks like an Egyptian or something. I don't know. You can get a close-up of it and you can see it. This looks like the back part should be metal. It's plastic. It's, again, that gold and black, which is kind of an odd color. And it looks like jewelry.
Yeah, so I was going to say, it looks like earrings.
If you're a guy, you're going to feel like you've got gauges in, you know? It's just right. it's a little strange. Right. They do sound really, really good. Now, here's what makes this the audiophile version. First of all, they've put additional settings in the phone's settings that you won't see on any other phone. This is Harman Kardon Audio. They've got something called Clarify. They say that restores the quality of compressed audio, like MP3s.
I always wonder on that one.
I turn them off.
Yeah.
and I couldn't, to be honest, couldn't tell the difference. Look, the data's not there. How are you going to make it sound better? I don't know what you're going to do.
Always,
yeah. It's a trick. Yeah, it's a trap. Live Stage does work a little bit. It's only available if you've got the headphones plugged in. And that will broaden the sound stage, give you a more airy sound stage. Again, you notice I've got them both off, but that's one of the features. The big feature you're going to be most interested in probably is it has the capability of playing back lossless high bitrate audio recordings. The reason I snagged this away from you, Jason, is because I'm very excited about Neil Young's Pono Player.
Oh, me too.
Coming in the fall, the Pono Player is going to be able to play back original digital masters recorded not at the CD quality, 44,100 hertz per second, the sample rate 16 bits, 44.1 16 bits, that's CD quality. But in fact, as high as 192,000 hertz at a 24-bit sample size. So a much higher resolution, also much larger files. So this is capable of going up to 192.24, that full quality that the Pono Player will go to. Now, the thing that makes the Pono Player interesting is that it's going to have a very high-quality digital-to-audio converter, digital-to-analog converter. All of these devices have to do that. The data is stored in the music directory as bits, and they've got to convert it to an analog sound to play it back through the headphones. That, to me, more than almost anything, determines the quality of the audio you're going to get.
Super important. This DAC,
unlike the old M8, can go up to the highest bit rate. The M8 can play back FLAC, uncompressed FLAC files. All M8s can. At 90, I think it's 96.24. This goes to 192.24. Now, it comes with some samples, but I went out and I bought from HDTracks.com. I bought three albums so I could see what it sounds like. I got Michael Jackson's Thriller, that's sampled at 176.24. That's a newly remastered. Nora Jones' Come Away With Me, that was 192.24. And then some classical music. This is Eric Satie's Gymnopede. And I listened to all three of them. Now, I'll be honest. I have read all the articles about high bitrate music, golden ears. I'm an old man. I've got no high end to my sound. I fully did not expect to tell a difference. And I did A-B comparison, not just with the Harman Kardon headphones, but I brought out my Edemotics. You know I'm a fan of the Edemotics in-ear monitors. These are very high-quality $250 audiophile headphones, which I frankly prefer a little bit to the Harman Kardons. I could tell a difference. There's a significant difference. I listened to the Michael Jackson Thriller remastered as a 320 kilobit MP3. That was what I bought, what I ripped myself. And the, now remember, it's uncompressed, so it's FLAC, which is means already it's going to sound better than MP3. And it was 176,000 samples, 24-bit samples a second. There's a significant difference in the sound. It's much more open. Instruments, the snare drum sounded different.
They
sounded like
alive.
A different instrument.
Yeah,
it sounded more alive.
Makes the music alive.
So you've heard this.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a musician, I've worked with higher, you know, higher bit rate, high sample rate.
It makes a big difference.
Music, and then you hear what it ends up with, you know, what it ends up as when it ends up on a portable device or through your stereo, and there is a difference there.
These M8s have always, because the HTC ones have always been great phones because they have front-facing left-right speakers, which does make a difference. I mean, it's not audio file quality, but if you're listening to an audiobook or
back.
It's an improvement. The headphones make it even better, and I imagine if you plug this into a stereo system, it's out, you'd even hear more. But surprisingly enough, using very high quality uncompressed samples, I was able to tell a distinct difference between high bitrate MP3 versions of this Michael Jackson song, for instance, and the uncompressed FLAC high bitrate versions on this phone. So this phone can play back higher bitrates. HTC does not say whose DAC they're using. It is, I guess, a different DAC because it has better capabilities than the other HTC one. And I really was able to hear a difference, which made me happy. Because a lot of people said, you're not going to hear a difference. Yeah, you can hear a difference. It's noticeable. I thought, well, maybe it's just psychology. Maybe it's just me. So I did a blind A-B comparison.
That's the important thing.
With Lisa.
Right there. Yeah.
I said, Lisa, listen to this. And we tried both headphones. She preferred the Harman Kardon headphones. But every time on variety of different music, she picked the Harman Kardon edition of the HTC One. She said, that sounds better. Right? She's nodding. So there you go. That's the real way to test it. It's a blind comparison where they don't know. You go back and forth, A, B, and she too can tell the difference. We both agreed that this did sound better. Now, $50 more. Is it $50 better? I don't know. Most of the time you're going to be listening in adverse circumstances in the car, in noisy environments. You're probably using headphones, which aren't great, although these are a little bit better. It is $50 more. It is there. So here's the pros and cons. The pros, yes, it sounds better. It really does sound better. And these headphones are better than the standard HTC One headphones. The cons, it's $50 more. And you may not like the styling. You don't get a choice. And, of course, the other con is it's Sprint. It's a Sprint exclusive. So if you don't have good coverage where you live, and we don't, Sprint's not very good here, then this isn't a good choice for you. But if you like Sprint or you're a Sprint customer, you're an audiophile, you want the highest quality tracks, you'll have to spend a little bit more on them. And by the way, they're about 10 times bigger, about 100 megabytes of file instead of about 10 megabytes of file. But now this is nice because the new HTC One does have an SD card slot up to 128 gigabytes. So there's plenty of place to store that music. I'd say this is a definite buy if you like audio. I did not expect to be able to tell the difference, and I could, which makes me very excited about the Pono player coming. I think it isn't just golden ears that people really will hear a difference.
Sure.
So, kudos to Sprint, Harman Kardon, and HTC for trying this, because I don't know if there's a demand for audiophile smartphones.
Right. But audiophiles are willing to spend a measly
$50
more to get access to that. Then it's just a matter of, you know, the content.
Not bad.
You know, the high definition content to load into there, which, as you say, there are ways to find that. It's interesting how this had. This kind of has more benefit to it than maybe the Beats integration had for HTC. Right?
Well, the funny thing is I had the previous HTC one, which was Beats. I don't think that helped HTC. They sold their stake in Beats, which they're now kicking themselves for, I'm sure. The new HTC One M8, they call it Boom Sound. Sounds exactly the same as Beats. There's no difference. I don't think the software improvement they've put in here makes a big difference. Oh, there's one other thing you can get. The Harman Kardon Onyx speaker system for $200 off when you buy this phone. Okay. So if you want to get the Onyx speaker system, which is normally $399, I think, or $299, you can get it for $100 when you buy the phone. So that may be another pro. But I do think, you know, if you care about audio, this is worth it. I should mention somebody saying, well, why did Lisa like these headphones better? The high end was very good on these headphones, remarkably good. It was the bass that was a little bit less desirable for me. They sounded to me a little tinny as a result. A lot of mid range, a lot of high end, but that's a matter of taste. We do not have the equipment, and I did not measure subjectively.
Sure.
You know, the frequency curve on these. I think that's all nice, but really, what matters is how they sound to you. So listen to them before you buy it. That's my advice. Thank you, Jason Howell, for being here. I appreciate
it.
If you want to keep this for the All About Android show so you can try it, I'd love to hear what you think. Yeah, and I'll leave those high-def tracks on there.
Excellent. Thank
yeah,
you.
Because I'd be very curious what you think of those. We also thank Brian Burnett, our technical director and reviewer, Father Robert Ballasaire, Chad Johnson, and you for watching. We do Before You Buy Tuesday afternoons right after Security Now. You can tune in and watch live. But the best way to watch, of course, is the full show, which is available at twit.tv/BYB and on YouTube, our special YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. You'll find not only the whole show, but all of our individual reviews, which makes it very handy if you know somebody in the market for one of these products. You can say, hey, I found a review for you on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Our thanks to Tanya Hall and Karsten Bondi, our producers. And if you have a product you'd like us to review, something you say, hey, I heard about, would you like to find out what this is like? Just email byb@twit.tv and Karsten and Tanya will arrange it and we'll get a review out to you. It's kind of part of the fun of doing this show. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. And remember, gotta watch before you buy. We'll see you. Bye-bye.